this is...
Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, July 9th, 2026. At the top of the front page, celebration. Many activities organized to highlight July 4th in Watsika by Carla Waters, managing editor. Watsika conducted a big July 4th celebration with activities all day long. The City of Watsika parade, conducted by the Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce, had more than 60 entries. Winners this year were Best Farm Entry, LG Farms; Best Religious Entry, Life Church; Best Children's Unit, Woodworth Country Clovers; Best Commercial Entry, Watsika FFA; Best Walking Unit, First Trust and Savings Bank; Best Use of Theme, America's 250th Anniversary, Watsika Public Library; and Best Decorated Emergency Vehicle, Crescent Iroquois Fire Department. The Chamber also conducted a rubber duck race in the Watsika swimming pool. Winners included 2026 rubber duck race winners, $250 sponsored by the Silo Pub and Eatery and Homestead Venue. Duck number 255, Robert Galloway, $250. Sponsored by Gibson Area Hospital. Duck number 74, Chris Bosong, $25 Walmart gift card. Sponsored by Gilman Healthcare Center. Duck number 261, Reagan Vogel, $25 Walmart gift card. Sponsored by Iroquois Farmers State Bank. Duck number 164, Jeff Peterson, $25 Walmart gift card, sponsored by Trinity Church. Duck number 211, Bob Bird, $25 Walmart gift card, sponsored by Heritage Woods of Watsika Supportive Living and Memory Care. Duck number 282, Willow Smith, $25 gift card to Joyful Blooms. Duck number 157, Jonica Suver, 250th Big Rubber Duck and 250th Necklace, sponsored by FAFO3D. Duck number 87, Robert Galloway. The city provided a free swim day at the pool for residents, and the pool was filled with people cooling off in the water. Watsika American Legion also sponsored the family day in the park with a number of activities. There were food venues, a bags tournament, a kiddie play zone, disc tournament, and more. The Bling Your Bike event also took place with the following winners. For grades 3 through 5, the winners were Sebastian Milligan, Most Patriotic, and Holden Mensa, Most Creative. For grades 6 through 8, the winners were Ember Crawford, Most Patriotic, and Lily Leathers, Most Creative. Consolation winner was Cody Roach. And there's some lovely pictures from the 4th of July celebration. Oh, just tons of them, indeed. Water quality reports available to Crescent City residents. Ordinance violation notices to be sent by staff report. Mayor Mark Rabe called the July 6th meeting of the Crescent City Village Board to order at 6:58 p.m. Clerk Kathy Christensen took roll call with the following trustees present: Kim Rabe, Steve Carley, Joe Bellot, Joe Martin, and Jim Sorensen. Also present were Jeff Hildenbrand, building inspector/permit issuer, Al Johnson, maintenance engineer, Amanda Bellot, community center / park manager, and Mary Carley, treasurer. Later in the meeting, village attorney George Quanzo arrived. Johnson reported on work being done in the village, which is mostly mowing. Minutes of the June 8th meeting were approved as presented. No report was received from ERH, so Joe Bellot gave an update. The quote for the cost of new check valves was $2,000 each, and two are needed. The board approved this purchase. Flow tests were completed and two hydrants failed, so they need to be replaced. Mayor Rabe will check with Robinson Engineering to see if these can be replaced when work is being done in the village. Bellot reported he and Mayor Rabe had talked to a local business and things are working out well with the water usage. Mary Carley presented the treasurer reports for the village and community center. Both were approved. There are residents and or businesses which have not paid their water bills. Notices of water shutoff will be sent and, if necessary, liens placed against the properties. She intends to survey residents on their preference of water billing once one call is in place. Amanda Bellot reported a renter of Heritage Park was asked if they can use water at the park, has asked if they can use water at the park for a small water apparatus. It was motioned and approved to set a fee of water usage for such an event at $25 for the first 4 hours, with the fee going to $50 for more than 4 hours. In other business, the board discussed water meters. If a resident or business asks to have their water meter removed and tested, they are charged $150 if the meter comes back as working. If the meter is found to be faulty, there is no charge for the meter test and no charge for the replacement meter. During discussion, it was noted if the meter isn't faulty and the resident or business wants to keep the meter which was installed during the testing, there will be a $150 charge for the replacement meter to remain in place. There are residences in the village where the lawns are very high and need mowing. Letters will be sent advising them to take care of the matter. There are also places where junk, unlicensed vehicles, and brush are visible, and these residences will also be notified of the violation. There are two businesses interested in providing garbage service to the village. Both should be represented at the August 3rd meeting to submit their contract proposals. Water quality reports were received and are available to the public. Anyone who would like a copy can contact Christensen by calling City Hall at 815-683-2363 or sending an email to villagecrescent@att.net. Village Attorney George Quanzo arrived at the meeting to let the board know how legal matters are progressing. Christensen was asked to send him emails on a couple of matters. Bills were presented and approved for payment. Adjournment was at 8:56 p.m. with the next meeting set for 7 p.m. Monday, August 3rd. Juvenile Justice Council works summer in the park activities. The Juvenile Justice Council of Iroquois County has been busy partnering with fellow members and their agencies to bring engaging and impactful activities to the youth in the Summer in the Park program in the Iroquois West area. With much regard for the director of the program, Deanna McIntyre and her assistant, Rachel Tofari. The JJC looks forward to bringing something unique each year, according to JJC information. On June 10th, the JJC partnered with the Iroquois County Sheriff's Department and brought activities focusing on the work and help local police bring to our communities in what was deemed a police academy. The Sheriff's Department brought their police vehicles and police gadgets to let the kids learn how and why they're used. They also brought a couple different fingerprinting kits to show the kids how they do fingerprinting out in the field. The JJC created an obstacle course for the kids to do agility training in order to receive their junior deputy badge from Sheriff Percy himself. There was also a police case file the kids had to work together to solve. Police sketching, more fingerprinting to do at home, the crafts creating police hats and handcuffs. This all took place at Durham Park in Onarga. On June 24th, the JJC partnered with the Gilman Danforth District Library, Mr. Cole, and Harbor House, Taylor and Erica, to bring a day deemed Sousapalooza activities centered around the Gilman Danforth Library's summer reading program, Unearth a Story Involving Dinosaurs. Attendees moved to different Dr. Seuss-related stations focused on the past, present, and the future. For the past, kids enjoyed digging for dinosaur bones, racing dinosaurs, and shadow drawing various dinosaurs. Mr. Cole delighted those present by reading dinosaur-related books to the kids as well. Harbor House was busy manning the Oobleck station, making Dr. Seuss's Oobleck in stress balls to ground us all in the present. The JJC's summer intern, Maddie, was focused on the future and had the kids help her to create a sticky note wall full of what the kids look forward to in the future. There were many occupations listed as well as ideas of what they can do now to make their future bright, such as trying to keep their bodies and minds healthy. This also took place at Durham Park in Onarga. Grief programs available in Bourbonnais. Mark your calendars for the Beautifully Broken Grief Workshop being on Saturday, July 18th from 1 to 11:30 a.m. at the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center, 3115 North 1000 West Road, Bourbonnais. According to information provided, the death of a loved one can leave us feeling broken. What do we do with this feeling of brokenness? We slowly heal and put ourselves back together. This interactive workshop will help identify the feelings of brokenness and illustrate the process of putting ourselves back together through gluing a broken vase and focusing on the beauty that can be created in the cracks. Each attendee will then have their beautifully broken vase to represent their emotions and remind them of the beauty they may find along their healing journey. Join us to explore this idea through discussion and crafting with others who are grieving as well. All supplies will be provided along with refreshments. Registration is required to attend. To register for this free grief workshop, or for more information on all of our grief support services, please call today at 815-939-4141. People are invited to join the Good Grief Family Camp on Friday, July 24th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Bourbonnais facility. Good Grief Family Camp offers children age 3 and up and teens a full day of both support and fun. Your family will learn valuable tools to help them grieve in a healthy way while connecting with other children and parents, guardians who have also lost a loved one. Each activity is designed to help you and your child navigate grief emotions and learn productive coping skills. Good Grief Family Camp reminds you and your child that you are not alone in your grief and gives you the opportunity to have some fun and make new friends through shared experiences. To register for this free family camp, please call our office at 815-939-4141. Uplifted Care Community Grief Center offers something for everyone at any stage of their grief journey. All services are completely free of charge. Please see our full list of support groups and the schedule below. Grief support groups are held weekly unless noted below. Mondays, loss of a parent, sibling, 10 a.m. Finding your new normal, 10 a.m. Grief walk and talk, 12 p.m. Meet at Perry Farm, weather permitting. Tuesdays, women's grief group, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Spousal loss, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesdays, spousal loss, 10 a.m. Moving through grief yoga, 10 a.m., third Wednesday of each month. Child loss, 4 p.m., first and third Wednesdays of each month. Pregnancy slash infant loss, second and fourth Wednesday of the month. Thursdays, grief book club, fourth Thursday each month. Saturdays, monthly kids hour, 12 p.m., third Saturday of the month. January, February, April, May, June, July, August, and November. All groups are completely free of charge and registration is required. To register for free support group or for more information on all of our grief support services, please call our office today at 815-939-4141. And there are two obituaries. Carolyn Faye Bosong. It is with comfort we celebrate Carolyn Faye Bosong, 84, going home to her Heavenly Father on June 23, 2026. She was born to Edwin and Gertrude Ferdinand Hoffer on November 11, 1941, in the Goodwine family home. She married Virgil E. Bosong in Schwer on June 14, 1959. Carolyn was the loving mother of Kim Scott Marsh of Gallatin, Tennessee, and Kevin Christine Bosong of Watsika. She was the cherished grandmother of five grandchildren: Cole Casey Bosong of West Lafayette, Indiana; Courtney Todd Liznicki of West Lafayette, Indiana; Claire Bosong and fiance Josh Pullman of Alexandria, Virginia; Kaylee Kevin McCormick of Denver, Colorado; and Mackenzie Will Dulce of Lantana, Florida. Four great-grandchildren, Kinsley and Cayenne Bosong and Nellie and Ruth Liznicki. Also surviving are her high school sweetheart and husband, Virgil Bosong of Watsika, along with her sister, Charlotte Adkins of Lafayette, Indiana, and twin sister, Karen Yergler of Watsika, and several nieces and nephews. Carolyn will be greeted in heaven by both parents and one sister, Eunice White. Carolyn never met a stranger. Her kindness was always on display within her church family, friends, and especially within her community. She was a charter member of Faith Lutheran Church in Watsika for over 60 years and participated in their sewing group, bake sales, and choir. She was a Sunday school teacher, organist, and volunteered for many visits to Prairie View Lutheran Nursing Home in Danforth. She was the receptionist for the Iroquois County Courthouse for 24 years and completed her state retirement at City Hall. She later would work at H&R Block greeting clients during tax season. Volunteering was always special to Carolyn, and her most rewarding volunteer hours were spent with Iroquois Memorial Hospice and Iroquois Memorial Hospital. She spent 35 years with hospice and 10 years welcoming people at Iroquois Memorial Hospital. For 17 years, she enjoyed fundraising and participating in Relay for Life for Cancer. Carolyn also found time to spend over 15 years as an election judge. She loved sharing her angel food cakes and did so in honor of her mother, who taught her the skill. Carolyn was a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan, loved feeding her visiting birds, completing puzzles, and nurturing hers and others' African violets. Though Carolyn left this world physically, her spirit lives on through the memories she etched in our hearts. Celebration of Life service will be held at the Knapp Funeral Home on Saturday, July 11th, 2026 at 11 a.m. with Pastor Jacob Schaefer officiating, and visitation will be held 1 hour prior also at the funeral home. Private burial will be held at St. John's Lutheran Cemetery in Schwer. Memorials may be made to Iroquois Memorial Hospice, Faith Lutheran Church in Watsika, or Iroquois Memorial Resident Home. Please share a memory of Carolyn at www.knappfuneralhomes.com. Lillian Lorraine Anderson, 100, of Hoopston, formerly of Milford, passed away at 4:20 a.m. on Saturday, July 4, 2026, at Autumn Fields Assisted Living, where she had resided for the past 8.5 years. Lillian was born on January 27, 1926, in Wellington, Illinois, the daughter of Julius and Tilly Johnson Carlson. She married John C. Anderson on July 13, 1946. She is survived by her son, Daniel J. Anderson, and daughter-in-law, Diane Mitchell Anderson of Milford, two grandsons, John of Milford and Andrew Rebecca of Kalamazoo, Michigan, and two great-granddaughters, Hannah and Leah. She was preceded in death by her husband, John. Her parents, four sisters, Louise Hodge, Esther Webb, Irene Carlson, and Mary Lou Means, and two brothers, Lloyd Carlson and John Carlson. Lillian graduated from Wellington High School in 1944. Following graduation, she worked for State Farm in Bloomington, Illinois for 2 years. After marrying John, the couple farmed in the Milford area for 50 years. She always had coffee brewing and homemade sweet rolls ready for anyone who stopped by. Lillian was a devoted member of Milford United Methodist Church, where she attended Bible study for many years. She was also active in the Household Science Club, Senior Women's Club, Poetry Club, an early morning swimming group, and several other community organizations throughout her life. Her many hobbies included making and sending handmade cards, painting, crocheting, sewing, baking Swedish rye bread, and making scratch pads. She also enjoyed sharing her apron collection with organizations throughout Iroquois County. Lillian was proud of her Swedish heritage and traveled to Sweden to visit relatives. One of her greatest joys was preparing lunch every Thursday for her grandson, John, where they visited and shared stories together. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday, July 10th, 2026, at the Knapp Funeral Home in Milford. Graveside services will be at 11:30 a.m. at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Milford, with Reverend Brent Zastro officiating with the burial to follow. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Milford Park and Pool, IMH Hospice, or the Ark of Iroquois County in Watseka. Please share a memory of Lillian at www.knappfuneralhomes.com. Vermilion County woman fined and sentenced to probation for voting twice in federal election. Dateline Urbana, Illinois. A Hoopston woman, Brenda Knuth, 61, was sentenced on June 26, 2026, to 3 years of probation in order to pay a $2,500 fine for voting twice in a federal election. According to information provided on January 30, 2026, Knuth pleaded guilty before U.S. Magistrate Judge Eric L. I. Long in Urbana, Illinois, to voting more than once in a federal election. Knuth admitted that she voted early in the November 2024 general election and then voted on Election Day as well. Candidates for federal office were on the ballot in the 2024 general election. After Knuth voted on Election Day, she posted on Facebook that she tested the system and it failed. Knuth later admitted to a special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation that she voted twice because she wanted to see if her early vote counted. She admitted that she did not speak with any election official about her prior vote, confirm with anyone whether her early vote counted, or notify the clerk's office that she voted twice. She acknowledged that she knew that by voting early, she was not allowed to vote a second time in the same election. At the sentencing hearing, it was determined that Knuth's only prior conviction was in Vermilion County, Illinois, in 2025 for unlawful possession of an alligator. After hearing arguments from the parties, United States District Judge Colin S. Bruce sentenced Knuth to 3 years of probation and a $2,500 fine. The right to vote is a fundamental part of our democracy, said United States Attorney Gregory M. Gilmore. Abuse of that right cannot be tolerated. Our office is committed to ensuring the integrity of our federal elections and preventing voter fraud. Protecting the integrity of federal elections is one of the FBI's highest priorities. Every lawful vote has to be counted and counted only once for our system to function, said FBI Springfield Field Office Special Agent in Charge Ryan Presley. When individuals knowingly cast multiple ballots, they undermine confidence in the process and violate federal law. This case demonstrates that the FBI will investigate these violations wherever they occur and work with our partners to ensure accountability. The statutory penalties for voting more than once in a federal election are up to 5 years of imprisonment or probation and a $10,000 fine. The case investigation was conducted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation Springfield Field Office with assistance from the Illinois State Police. Supervisory Assistant U.S. Attorney Eugene L. Miller represented the government at sentencing. This is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, July 9th, 2026. Have a fabulous day.